Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Steve Kerr won't call a timeout. They're going to double Curry in the backcourt. He gets it anyways. He popped out and the double team released. Curry now with 5 seconds.
Get
Curry crosses midcourt. Hook pass to Draymond. Draymond dribbles down the lane. Throws it up. No good. And we're going to overtime. The Warriors didn't get a good shot. And we're going to overtime. We've got 5 more minutes. A bucket here and that's your ball game. 17 seconds left. Shot clock at 10 down to 14. Morant pressured by JTA. Now goes to work with a dribble drifting left side of the circle. Morant wants to drive, spins on JTA, floats it up and in! Ja Morant turning and scoring, and the Warriors' season may be done. 114-109.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, thanks for that. Good Lord. I mean, the only good...
I mean, playing, am I right?
Well, the season won't end tonight.
No. They are 0-3 all time in these cockamamie playing games.
Yeah, I don't like numbers like that because I just don't like, you know, I mean, like, even listen to that call. Morant breaking down JTA.
Yep.
It's like, it's a totally different team. Like, the uniforms are kind of the same.
Don't be disrespectful.
No, I got nothing against that team, but this team ain't that team.
Well, that team, the starting five, and I mean, we could do this all night, but it's a short segment. Curry, Draymond, Wiggins. Kent Bazemore.
Oh, God.
And Kevon Looney. This was when Clay was obviously injured.
Yeah.
Off the bench, Jordan Poole played 38 minutes, and Juan Toscano-Anderson played 32 minutes.
Love JT.
And then don't forget Michael Mulder.
Oh, my God.
8:42 off the bench. That was your Golden State Warrior eightsome. Compare that to the team you have this year.
It's a little better.
I think it's slightly better, Mark.
Better. There's this guy, Jimmy Butler. It's a little different.
Yeah.
A little different, yeah. No.
So that was that, and then this. So to say that they're 0-3, it's meaningless other than as a historical.
But it's true, and I am very much expecting and hoping and calling for the Warriors needing to change that record for good tonight and get their first play-in victory. It just flat out has to happen. We're live in the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. We love having Laughing Monk along for the ride. Same to you at 888-957-9570. Trevor in Rohnert Park. Hi, Trevor. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? A couple of points I just want to make. First off, the way the Warriors are playing before they had Jimmy Butler, I feel like they're kind of playing with house money. We should look at this in a little bit different way. This is the team actually working, getting into at least a playing game, considering how horrible they were playing before Butler came on. So that being said, they're 0-3 in playing games, and that number, especially when you have Steph Curry on your team, is not going to stand. They're going to have to get one. I believe they're going to get this one tonight because look at the last Rockets game that the Warriors lost, and Steph Curry came away just being completely pissed off about the fact that they shut him down, right? So this is like a story in the making for the Warriors to go in and take care of business against the Rockets. So I kind of feel like this is just – This is just destiny for the Warriors. They're going to win this game tonight, and then we're going to go, and they're going to take care of business against the Rockets. That would be a great story. But the bottom line is, let's just understand that the Warriors are in the play-on after they got Jimmy Butler, which was a last-minute trade. Things are better, but this is like, this is really like playing with house money until next year when they can, they will retool either way. And they're going to get some people who know how to shoot the ball with Steph Curry, with Jimmy Butler, with Draymond Green next year. So let's just look at it for what it is. It's going to be a good game, and I do think the Warriors are going to come away winning. But there's some, you know, so, I mean, just, I think everybody needs to just relax and just enjoy what they're seeing with the Warriors well, right now.
Trevor, I tell you what, I agree with most of your take until you got to the end. I'm just not.
I'm not there on house money.
No, I am not. Like, nothing is setting up the future. Good God, he's 37. Nothing is setting up the future. This is all about now. I am banking on nothing with the remaining 2 years of these guys' contracts. If it works out that way, great. But you got a whole nother building to build in order to like worry about next year. This is not just happy-go-lucky, let's see what happens, and if it doesn't work out, it's all good, got next year. Wow, like that's just not... I mean, it's great that that's how you feel. Enjoy your night off. I don't feel that way.
And I'm not feeling house money either.
No.
I mean, you won 48 games, and you should have already had a top six seed, but you had a couple of hiccups, and now here you are in the play-in again. So get into a series with Houston, and even then, I don't believe that's house money either.
At all. I agree with you.
If you get to a Lakers series, I don't think that that's house money.
House money.
I do think that you could look at a Lakers best of seven in the conference semis and think, okay, this is an even-ish matchup. They won 50 in the regular year. You won 48. That would be a classic heavyweight bout.
Yep.
If you then win that series and you get to OKC, let's just say, well, now we can talk about house money.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. BPA is on the line. What's up, BPA? How you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hello. It's been a while.
I think I trust Kerr more than I trust Kuminga Stans, I'm going to be honest. And I don't know that I can ever recall a more passionate sort of fandom for a minimally accomplished player as I've seen with Kuminga and his Stans. But I think, you know, like, since he's come back, like, he's not done the things Kerr wants him to do. There's three or four things he wants him to do. He wants him to attack the rim, defend, rebound, and move the ball. And he's not been doing those things. And maybe those things are not – those are outside his scope of abilities, right? But he's not been doing them. And so, like, at some point, like, he has to do it, you know? Like, there's this just constant defense of Kuminga's potential or that he's young. He's a fourth-year player. And, like, at some point, you just have to do it. You have to do what the coach is asking you to do. And if you don't do it, we shouldn't all just continue to make excuses for the player. Like, at some point, you have to do it on the court. And, like, he has not done it. Like, I watched that poor. The number of mistakes he's making since he's come back on the court is stunning. Like three mistakes for every good play. So, like, yeah, like, I would love nothing more than that he would step up and do it. But, like, he's not done it, so let's stop pretending like this guy needs some sort of reward.
BPA, thanks. I'm largely with you as long as I can add in the point of, look, the numbers, they just kind of speak for themselves, and I don't mean him as an individual. I mean the Warriors as a team when Jonathan is out there with the key players, with Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. The numbers speak for themselves, and I don't know how to fight that. They are what they are. It's not personal against Jonathan Kuminga. And the other reason I keep saying, and again, this is if Moses is healthy tonight, I would not be surprised at all. In fact, I would predict that Jonathan won't play again tonight. And here's why. People look at Sunday and they go, JK didn't play and the Warriors lost. But you're forgetting that Steve Kerr, whether you believe this or not, he thinks the Warriors played really well on Sunday.
I think they did play really well.
So do I.
Except for late in the fourth when their offense turned to mush and
right.
Steph Curry made some very, very bad turnovers.
And that was 90 seconds of action. So what Steve is telling you and has, I think, for weeks now, when he keeps saying, we found a lineup that works now that Jimmy is here. We found a lineup that works. Well, Sunday, he believes again that the lineup he used worked. It just fell a point short against a really, really good team. So if you believe that your team, like you went with a lineup and then it went out there and it performed and it led by four with a minute 45 to go in the game, and you believe, as he said afterwards, man, we played really well tonight. Two high-level teams just didn't win. If that's what you believe, and then you've got a massive game again two nights later, what are you going to do? I think you're going to go with the exact same group.
I think you go with a group that fits the opponent, and I think, and I could be proven right or wrong tonight, depending on who's available and how it goes, but I look at a Clipper game, and I was looking at the box score, and the Warriors shot the ball 20 fewer times in overtime than they did against Memphis when they played them about 2 weeks ago. So the pace, the amount of possessions, the up and down nature, Memphis is number two in the league in points per game. Memphis hits you for 120 a night on the regular. So I think when you get into an up and down athletic affair, I think the Warriors aren't afraid of that pace. Steve told us back in the beginning of the year,
not at all.
We want that pace. We want to shoot a bunch of threes. We want to play fast. And so when you're going to play fast, for me, that's a recipe for Jonathan Kuminga.
I mean, but I don't know how you can feel that Draymond and Jimmy are going to play almost the entire game, and tonight fits Jonathan Kuminga. I don't. Those two things don't work together.
When we ran the numbers before, if Jimmy plays 44 minutes, which seems likely, he could play all 48, and Draymond plays 36 or so. Well, yeah. There's some minutes in there when you don't have Jimmy and Draymond together. So you bring in Quentin Post for shooting, and you bring in J.K. alongside for a six-minute stretch, and you see if he can do some different things athletically that you don't have on your team.
I don't argue that, but I guess if you like, of course, yes, that would count as playing if he goes out there and only gets 10 minutes. But 10 minutes of action, that's a very, very bit player.
That's more than zero.
Yeah, it's more than zero. More than zero.
He was, what, the 10th man on Sunday, and they only played nine.
Yeah.
So if they play nine tonight and he's the ninth man, then he probably gets about 8 to 10 minutes.
So who played the other night that won't play tonight?
I don't know. Did they play eight or they played nine?
I think
maybe
they played
it's Kevon.
Nine.
Kevon Looney as a guy?
Yeah. I bet Kevon Looney's going to be in the game tonight.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah,
it just comes down to matchups.
We'll see.
There was a moment in the first half where Gee got up to check in. He was sitting at the scorer's table. Kerr called the timeout, and then after the timeout, Gee did not check in.
Which means Gee was going to play over Kuminga.
Which
means Jonathan was not the 10th man. He was the 11th man.
Yeah.
Or 12, or whatever. I mean, he was just not in the plans. But Eric Hasseltine's in our plans. More of your phone calls in our plans. The voice of the Grizzlies, who's a Bay Area guy, joins us. Coming up next, they are 0-10 since January 30th against the top nine seeds in the West. The Grizzlies are 0-10. I'd like to know what Eric thinks about that. And why the hell did they fire their coach? And then we get right back to your phone calls on Willard and Dibs.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looney stops in the paint to Draymond, handoff Curry. Deep three on the way with one on the clock. Back rim miss. Looney again finds Thompson, loads up a triple. Good! It's madness! Just madness!
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney. You're listening to Willer and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Woo! Game 6, 2022, Warriors-Grizz. Love hearing Tim Roy when that's where the voice goes. Love it. The last one you played when Ja Morant knocked the Warriors out of the play-in tournament a handful of years ago. Less fun. Less fun, but that's where we are, folks. And it's a little bit nerve-wracking going into a monster game tonight. One thing that's fun, though, is we get to welcome someone who's come on the show a number of times, the River Islands guest line. He is a local guy and also the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Eric Hasseltine joins us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm good. You guys teased me with a little mirror in the bathroom and then just kicked me right below the belt with that highlight. I remember that. That Looney just killed the Grizzlies that year. It was unbelievable how good he was.
24 rebounds in game six is how I remember it.
Yeah, he was just tough. He was just a problem. And, you know, look, I remember that series, and what I remember most about that year was the Grizzlies ended up passing the Warriors for the 2 seed and probably could have gotten a 1 seed, but as every coach does, you sit guys down. But in reality, when the series came up, I was like, hey, people realize that the Warriors should have been the 2. If Curry hadn't gotten banged up, I think that was the year Marcus Smart like dove and rolled into his knee and he missed like 2 weeks. That's when the Grizzlies overtook the Warriors. I thought the Warriors were a slightly better team, and the seeds were a little off at that time. But these are fun. These are so much fun. And just telling somebody today, coming home and remembering going to Oracle with my dad and watching Run TMC and, you know, going to the Buena Vista and being able to share that now with my colleagues and be able to share my hometown and then, you know, do what we love to do, even though now I'm on the other side. You know, it's like a dream come true. And to hear those highlights and just all those great memories, it's just a blast.
We love that for you. Yeah, Eric Hasseltine, for those who don't know, is a local guy. And so it's a pinch me moment for you. It's a kick us in the shin moment for us, though. Because the Warriors have never won one of these. And we've spent the better part of the last month kind of thinking that they wouldn't be here. But here they are. So I wonder what your thoughts are on that. Not that Memphis is happy to be here either. A handful of weeks ago, they were the 3 seed. But do you think that affects the game tonight, sort of the fallout from losing Sunday and the Warriors rolling their eyes and even being in this game?
I hope it lights a fire under both teams. So we see a game like we saw with you guys and the Clippers. And although I was calling a glorified G League game in Memphis that day, I raced to the back knowing that with the national TV coverage, I'd catch most of the fourth quarter, which was just terrific to watch. But I hope it lights the fire because, both teams did not want to be here. The Warriors made the Butler trade, and they've been fantastic ever since. And the Grizzlies at the All-Star break were 36-18. And like, I was planning a vacation to Florida with my son to say, hey, like, we got the week off. Let's go down and, you know, ride a couple of rides at Disney World, and then I'll get you back up for your stuff. And then I'll get ready to go wherever we're going, hopefully host. And then you start dropping a game here or there and drop 3 straight last possession games. And so you're like, they may be in the play-in tournament. So, both teams are not happy about being there, but it's better than the alternative. And I think what you get is a game where if you go into tonight and think, we'll get through tonight, let's see how it goes. And if it doesn't work in our favor, we can always have one Friday. That mentality, if the Grizzlies take it in there, the Warriors will bury them where they stand. And I don't think the Warriors will have that. My fear of this night is, you know, if in terms of going the wrong way for the Grizzlies is that this Golden State team has that championship pedigree where the Grizz don't. And it's a relatively new group together. That chemistry has been one of the issues as to why they've been struggling at times. They look disjointed at times late in games against good teams where good teams have that. I know where this guy's going to be. I know where the pass needs to go. I know I've got this trust in help side defense. It hasn't always been there for the Grizzlies. So hopefully that doesn't come to fruition tonight. And you know, it's just a well-played game where both teams go out and play with that fire of knowing we want to get to Houston on Sunday and play game one and not worry about having to win another one on Friday.
Yeah, and that's kind of scary for Warrior fans knowing that you're 0-3 in the play-in tournament. So it's been a little bit of a PTSD experience. I want to ask you about the last 28 games, Eric, because you mentioned the record at the break, 12-16 since with a coaching change. What has made it so that Memphis kind of went sideways?
Most notably, the defensive lapses at times, big quarters allowed. Take, for example, you go up to Denver and you're leading by 5, and in one of the worst back-to-backs I've ever seen in 24 years of being with this organization, playing at home on an 8:30 tip in Central Time and then having to fly to Denver where the Nuggets aren't playing and playing the next night. That's tough, but, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for you. It's the NBA, and they just ran out of gas. But other nights where you give up 40-plus point quarters, they've given up 250-plus point quarters. The Minnesota game the night before, that's a national TV game, you're winning that game at halftime, and you're really outplaying the Timberwolves, although the score probably should have been more in your favor. and you come out in the third quarter and you try to slow roll into it, and all of a sudden they're not. They come out with more aggression, and that's been the Achilles heel, is the one big stretch. And you let teams get on a roll in this league, and you're in real trouble. And Minnesota got on that roll right out of the All-Star break in Indiana. They had the same thing. The Pacers had a 50-point quarter, and you're just not going to be able to withstand that. So the defensive lapses, it's coverages where, as you guys know, sometimes your help guy gets a little too deep, and then the ball moves around. And I mean, the Grizzlies, by these metrics, and I don't always get into the analytics stuff, but I thought this one was interesting when someone pointed it out. They give up the most open threes in the league, and it's not close. And when I'm talking open, we call it the 3 o'clock shot, where there's nobody in the gym and nobody around the guy other than the rebounder that's passing to him. And you're not going to be successful that way. And so that night that the Warriors came to town after the Grizzlies made the coaching change and the Warriors were in town, and you're like, I said to my partner, I said, Steph Curry could go monster tonight if they don't get to that perimeter. Well, they were aggressively trying to, but Draymond Green had other ideas with some really good screens, and Steph goes for 52. And that was the microcosm. Is now you're scrambling. Now the ball's moving. And this league, there are no secrets. You know, there's all that tape out there, guys. When people see that, oh, yeah, if we do this, we're going to get open looks. Or if we do this against you defensively, which a lot of teams are going into a 3-2 zone and trying to push the Grizzlies away from the paint because they weren't using a lot of ball screens, it really disrupted the flow. And I think what's plagued this team during those stretches, to wrap it up, is then you got guys trying to make a play to shift the momentum rather than staying in the team concept. Let me go get a bucket. Let me help my team. And although it's rooted in aggressiveness and thinking like you're trying to help the team, it's not what the offense is designed to do. So they've got to get past that. They've got to put the last, you know, 2 months behind them, like you said, the 12-16 stretch after the All-Star break. And you got to go play one game. And tonight, truthfully, you got to play your best basketball of the year. They played really well a few weeks ago in a game that they lost to the Celtics. They played really well in the game they won against Detroit. But they've only beaten one team with a 500 record or better since the All-Star break, and it was that game in Detroit. Mm. Everybody else has beaten them. And so great that you do what you're supposed to do and beat the teams that aren't in the playoffs. Not great that you're not competing with the teams that you're going to face in the postseason. And that was where the concern was for a while for this team.
Eric Hasseltine is the voice of the Grizzlies and a local guy joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Can we back up from all the points you just made?
Yeah.
Why did the Grizzlies fire their coach?
Man, if I knew that, I would be living in a much different neighborhood in Memphis because I would be in the upper echelon of the organization. I think, in all honesty, I just think the way it looked like the message had gone on deaf ears at this point. And I get along great with Taylor, and he's a great coach, and multiple guys in other organizations would talk about how smart he really is. But if you're not getting the message through clearly, it's hard to keep that job when it doesn't look like your star players are on board with what the concept is. Now, I think the wheels were in motion when this team and did something I'd never seen before. The front office decided they needed to go a different direction with the schemes. They let five assistant coaches go. They brought in a new five. One is now the interim head coach in Tuomo Asiasalo. And they tried to shake up the offense. They tried to get it faster and more spaced out. And at times, it just didn't look like it was connecting. Early in the season, you knew they were going to struggle in terms of finding the rhythm. And they had some losses where, again, big stretches where the offense didn't produce led to lopsided losses. But they also found stretches where they were blowing the doors off some teams. So I just think that as it kept progressing, there was a little bit of a difference of philosophy between two of the offensive guys they brought in, and the organization just decided, hey, this is the route we want to go. This is the message we want to convey. And at that stretch, you know, if you're pretty dead set on making a change at the end of the season, I get it. You know, one of the theories that was thrown out there was what happens if you don't make the change before the end of the season and you go win a couple playoff series, but you want to make the change. How do you justify that? And I've always said you shouldn't have to justify anything in the front office. You just have to live with the decision. You have to answer for what happened. But it just looked like they were not competitive for a little bit, and we were all scratching our heads that are there on a daily basis. I'm like, what's going on? Because this is not the group we've known. And so they pulled the trigger, and it's tough. But I feel wholeheartedly that Taylor Jenkins will land on his feet. He'll find another gig. He'll be a head coach again, and he'll be successful. And I feel wholeheartedly that the organization believes that this was the best move to move forward with the group they have and get them into, you know, learning this offense. If they do keep Coach Iasalo next year, that you've had some time with him in critical moments. And now you get a test run to see before, you know, the other theory was before you sign him to a 3 or 4 year contract, let's see if this actually works. Let's see if they can get behind this. And if they don't, then we can put on a full on coaching search. If they do, then we have our guy. And so I just think the time in their eyes was the right time to do it. A lot of people disagreed. Denver said, oh, that's an interesting strategy. Here, right, hold our beer for a second. Let's go with what you did. We're gonna one-up you.
Yo, so trendsetters out there. Yeah, you became a trendsetter.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were trying to do. That's what we were hoping for.
Yeah, I do think that the trial run idea, you at least get to see how it looks. And just watching Memphis from the outside looking in, Eric, it looks like a fast team playing even faster. How much does this help Ja Morant and really play into what he does best in the basketball?
So since the change, they've run a lot more high ball screens for Ja, and I think they're trying to maximize what his abilities are. Obviously, the people are looking and they see that Jaren Jackson was an all-star and was having a phenomenal season. His numbers have been down a little bit. I don't think that's due to the offense. I think it's due to Jaren basically rolled his ankle and fought to get back as soon as he could because he knew how important the games were and didn't just sit out. He tried to play through some pain. So I don't think he's quite 100% right. I don't want to speculate because I don't ask him about that and I'm not in a training room, but the moves just don't look as explosive to the, you know, the common eye. And so I think getting the ball into Ja's hand, getting him more comfortable, getting him back to where he can be that type of guy, that dynamic break down with the dribble point guard, was a priority. It's helped Desmond Bane. He's getting the shots he was getting before. And you know, I loved what they were doing early in the season. They called it everybody eats. Like, everybody was getting looks. Everybody was getting touches. They had a game where they scored over 145 points, and nobody had more than 22, but 8 guys were in double figures. So, you know, everybody was getting those looks, and they wanted to go back to, hey, we were at our best when Ja was working, when Jaren was working, when Dez was working, and then you had two of the other guys step up while the other guys contributed. And it might be a different 2 guys every night, but those 3 were your stalwarts. And as you get to the postseason, you guys know it slows down. It's way more star oriented. You let your best players take over the game, and they win it or lose it for you. That's why they get paid the money they get paid. If you try to do it with the distribution theory of everybody contributes and everybody's going to get their touches and we're all going to be happy in the playoffs, that'll get you beat, and it'll get you beat fast. Because guys are at that level and earn those contracts because they're different players. So, I just think that was part of the theory too. So now looking at it, you're getting Ja back to being Ja at the most critical time of the year where wins and losses don't matter. They're essential. You know, tonight is not a do or die game for either one of these teams, but I don't think anybody wants to mess around with a Friday game on the home court where then if you have one off night, then you're going home earlier than either one of these teams projected that they would be.
Yeah, and you're getting OKC even if you win it. So Eric Hasseltine, voice of the Grizzlies. Two quick ones before because I think this is what matters to Warriors fans the most. First, kind of handicap Steph Curry in this game because, as you said, they don't guard the three-point line well. He went for 52 just a couple of weeks ago. And, oh, by the way, the guy that guards him a lot, Jalen Wells, is now hurt. So handicap Steph Curry in this game tonight, Eric.
Well, I hate to say that I can see it coming sometimes, but the night that the Warriors were in Memphis, I looked at my partner, Elliot Perry, who played in the league for 10 years, and I said, he goes for a minimum of 35 tonight. There's no way he doesn't. And a lot of that was not only Steph. The Grizzlies actually extended the defense, and Jalen, as you mentioned, was healthy that night. A lot of that was Draymond Green just setting really aggressive screens and playing it to the point where I'm going to do everything I can and push the envelope with whether you're going to call this as a moving screen or not. Until you call it, I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to take it a half step further the next time and a half step further the next time. When you let me know what's not allowed, then I'll know. Well, the referees didn't, and he just kept getting, I mean, he was beating up on Grizzly defenders, and I can't blame him. I think it's great. I think that's what you want your guy to do. So if I'm looking at Steph tonight, obviously, you know, a lot of people were concerned about the wrap around his hand the other day against the Clippers. I think he gets going, but I think knowing what the Grizzlies will try to do defensively, they're going to try to take that away. They may shift the coverages a little bit more with Jaylen out. And boy, he's a kid from Folsom that couldn't have been a better dude all season long, just super mature for his age. That was one of the scariest moments of my career, that fall he took in Charlotte. And, you know, thankfully he's okay, but he's not available. So you've got to have other guys step up, whether that's Scottie Pippen Jr. or Vince Williams. You know, that tale will be told a little after 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
You've got to get around those screens. You've got to have help on the screens. And if you have Zach Edey on the floor, and they have since the coaching change had him more out there, he's got to really understand about drop coverage and where to go, because this Warriors team isn't going to put a guy down on the block where Zach can just go, all right, I'm guarding this guy. They're going to move around the perimeter, and Zach's going to have to figure out where he can get to and how he can help. Because if you're playing 5-on-4 against the Warriors, we might as well warm up the bus right now and get ready to head to the plane and get ready for a Friday game against Dallas or Sacramento.
And then, Eric, the other one is, what's up with these Ja Morant celebrations, man? Like, what's come on, man? What's going on?
Well, I know that these things are coming, and it's not. I'm not upset. You guys, this is what we do in this industry, is we talk about this stuff. The one where he got fined, I think, was him saying, I don't agree with the fine. I don't agree with why you're doing this. Other guys do it. And then to my audience, I said, hey, look, other guys may do it. Other guys were not suspended by the league for what he was suspended for. And I like Ja, don't get me wrong. I think he's always been great to me. But I think he's just had some moments of being young and brash and, you know, being out there and wanting to be, you know, the life of the party, so to speak, and be the guy that enjoys the fruits of his labors and how hard he works and his success. But, you know, as I told somebody, the NBA, it's not a right. It's a privilege. And if the league says, hey, don't do this, you can't thumb your nose at them and do it in a different manner. And now the next one, is meeting with people's questions of why is he doing this. But hey, I don't see him getting suspended for whatever these is. I think he called them word bombs and, you know, throwing them like grenades. And I don't think that's as big an issue with the things we have going on, obviously, in the country with people's concern about firearms and getting in the hands of the wrong people. And if anybody understands that, we do in Memphis. We're not, you know, we don't lead the country in violent crimes and not understand that. But I think, you know, now it's a little more kind of, it's a little more on the humorous side with these to me, but other people are looking at it going like, yo, dude, are you ever going to learn?
Right.
Are you ever going to learn? And I get both sides. I know the young man, I know he's not advocating any of that, but I also know he's like a young guy that's going, hey, look, you know, you can have me, you know, follow the rules and do this, but I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to enjoy this. And if you don't like it, then you have to make a decision. And whether that's the right way or wrong way to go about it, you know, I think that's for everybody to decide. I personally would love it if he just, you know, celebrated a different way and took some of the focus off of it, because I think it puts a little more pressure on him. But he could tell you that he doesn't feel any of the pressure and he's going to play the same way. And okay.
Yeah.
Then you do you, man, and deal with the consequences. You know, it's like the front office that drafts the wrong guy. Hey, I wouldn't have taken that guy, but you can take him, and if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you're the one who has to answer for it, not anybody else.
Yeah, no doubt. Fair answers. Hey, Eric, thanks so much for the time, and have a great call tonight.
Guys, always great to talk to you. Good luck tonight, and look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Yep, thanks, absolutely. Eric Hasseltine, local guy, voice of the Grizzlies, and we're an hour closer to this one tipping off tonight.
Yeah, pretty exciting. And I love the breakdown on the coaching change and the fact that they wanted to play offensively a little different. And I look forward to seeing them in a different way tonight with a lot more of the screen and roll for Ja Morant. And, you know, he talked about the pace, and they're number one in the association and how many possessions they have over the course of a game. And they're number two in scoring. So I don't think that that's going to change that much just because it's a playoff game.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. And Ja has been playing really, really well lately. No doubt. I don't know if that has anything to do with the coaching switch or not. But I also heard Eric say something that I would foresee tonight, which is I'm not saying anybody's going to get locked up or anything like that, but I don't think this is going to be as free and wide open as a regular season Grizzlies game would, and the Warriors were willing to play that way last time they played the Grizz. I just think there's too much on the line tonight. It's going to bog down a little bit more. People are going to be playing harder defense. More fouls are going to get called. Jimmy Butler's going to try to get to the line. All of those things. I'm not calling a low-scoring game by any stretch, but I think it's going to be a little slower pace than when we've seen it in the past.
And we'll see. If you're Memphis, you probably want it to be faster paced. I don't think you want to have it get into a spot where it's Jimmy Butler getting to the foul line. And the interesting one is Steph Curry, because their primary defender is out. So how is Memphis going to go about trying to prevent what happened last time these two teams met?
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, here for your calls. Kevin Harlan in a half hour, but back to your calls next. So Ricardo and Dylan, you're going to be first up, 888-957-9570. We both think this is as close to a must cut kind of a game as you could possibly imagine. Where are you, Warrior fans, as we close in on the next edition of the Game of the Year? 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
I don't know if it was intentional, but it was dirty. And playoff basketball is going to, it's supposed to be physical. You know, everybody's going to compete. Everybody's going to fight for everything. But there's a code in this league. There's a code that players follow where you never put a guy's season slash career in jeopardy by taking somebody out in midair and clubbing him across the head, ultimately fracturing Curry's elbow. This is a guy who's been toiling the last 6 years trying to make it in this league, finally found a home, playing his butt off this year in the playoffs. You know, this should be the time of his life. And guy comes in, whacks him across the head in midair. He broke the code. Dylan Brooks broke the code. That's how
now,
I see it.
Back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Save that one for Friday in case the Warriors are about to see Dylan Brooks again. Memphis is just a little bit less annoying today than they used to be because Dylan Brooks is not on the team anymore. But yeah, forever bleep that guy. Forever bleep that guy, Dylan Brooks. And I hope we see him this week. And I hope the Warriors take him out. But we're not there yet.
Nope. Got to win to get there and take him on Sunday. And, yeah, that would definitely add a layer to the matchup. And that was an absolutely dirty play. And he broke the code. And I was just looking at the highlight as Grandy was playing the audio version. And it's just no other way to look at it other than just a cheap shot where a guy's going to the basket and you go up top to the head and you got to protect the guy in that instance, and he did the absolute opposite.
We're going to go to the phones here, but I just saw this courtesy of Kawakami on Twitter, and I'd like to run it by everybody in the room and see how this grabs you. The Warriors originally were not going to have a shoot-around this morning, which is standard for home games the last few seasons, given the veteran status of the team and wanting to give them rest and all of that, especially I think at this time of year. Steve Kerr's even recently talked about how little practice they actually do this time of year. So normally no shoot around, but after getting a request from player leadership to have a shoot around, Steve Kerr put one on the schedule and the team had a shoot around earlier today.
Okay.
So I imagine player leadership, I mean, that must mean Steph, Dre, and Jimmy. I don't know who else that would mean. Maybe come on. I don't know. But player leadership said, we need to get our butts into the gym today and get ready for this game tonight. How's that grab you?
It grabs me as them trying to check every box and, you know, paying extreme attention to detail. And I also think that shoot around is as much about being together than it is like Steph Curry needs to work on his shot. So,
right.
You know, Steph Curry, get the shots up and, you know, Buddy Hield and the rest of it. Yeah, get some shots up and, you know, break a sweat. But I do think a lot of it is being there together.
I wonder. I can't tell you that that's not a part of it. And obviously that is to a degree. But also, it's got to be some strategy, something tactical about this idea. And the veterans who are all dinged up foregoing their rest so that everyone can come do this tells me that, I don't know, there's something that they wanted to address. going into this game from a strategy standpoint, from a tactical standpoint? How's it grab you, Grady?
My mind immediately goes to 2023 Game 7 versus Sacramento when Steph told everybody, like, if you don't want to, you're not part of this, don't get on the bus. Because shoot around feels more like, as Dibs was saying, just the guys being together than like a practice and like gearing up for an opponent. Kind of feels more like there's a message that they want everyone on the team to hear.
Yeah. I find that very interesting that the players, the tired old players, called Steve and said, get everybody in the gym.
Right. I mean, let's show up and let's treat this the way that it should be treated, which this is not just a garden variety game in the regular season. This is win or stay home. It's not win or go home. It's win or stay home. And you don't want to stay home.
No.
You want to win and get on a plane. You don't want to win and stay home. That would mean you have to play on Friday.
Well, I tell you what I like from it, and I guess maybe, Grandy, this is a part of what you're sort of indicating with what you said. If you think of Game 7 in Sacramento, I very much want, and I'm sure they will, not that they didn't on Sunday, but you have to treat this. I don't care about the phrase that gets everybody going, must win.
Right.
You have to treat this as something that is absolutely critical. You have to win tonight. And if that's part of the messaging, I don't know that, like, just because you're Brandon Pajemski or Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody, I don't think that's lost on you. I don't think they don't know that. But maybe there's something to, right? Steph Curry's like, my thumb hurts. Jimmy's like, my leg hurts. Draymond's like, my neck hurts. And we want you all here right now.
Right.
This is critical.
And the thing about it, Mark, is they're coming off a game where they shot 54% from the floor and 46% from three. So it's not like, guys, we had a bad, bad night. Let's get in the gym and shake off the cobwebs.
Right.
They shot it great. They played mostly great. Yet you look at it and it's, guys, we need to do everything we can to make sure come 7 o'clock we're ready for everything.
But what bothered them about the game on Sunday? I would argue, like, here's what I saw. Moses Moody lost his minutes in the second half because they didn't feel like he was ready to dive on a ball. I saw Draymond get very, very frustrated with Quentin Post at one point because Quentin ended up, and I can't even remember if it was Kawhi or James Harden, but it was one of those brilliant plays where the old vet is like, dude, if you're going to stand there, watch this. Whoop! Brr, whistle, foul. Like, dude, you're too close. You're crowding them too much. And Draymond got very upset. And what happened? Quentin only got 10 minutes in the game and never scored. And so I wonder if there's also like, hey, guys, like, you have to have unbelievable attention to detail, full focus, full effort, leave everything out there for 48 minutes. Kind of an attitude tonight. And if they do that, by the way, they're the better team. They should win.
They should. And maybe the shoot around is as much about Quentin and Moses and Buddy, because Moses only shot four times, didn't make a three. Quentin shot once in 10 minutes and didn't make his three. And Buddy was 2 of 6 from three. So maybe the shoot around is aimed at guys who actually may need a little work on their shot.
Or what if they know Moses isn't playing?
And they want to get Kuminga sharp
and
get him ready.
And they
would
like to get him mind, body, and spirit and strategy in place.
It's very possible.
Possible.
Yeah. And to your point about must win, you know I bristle at the phrase unless it truly is. But if you want to look at what this is and you lose, then you have to. Friday's a true must win. And even if you do win that, the current odds to win the Western Conference, OKC is minus 150. They are odds on favorite. And they had the best regular season by point differential in the history of the association. They're going to be rested, and they won 68 games. So even if you lose tonight and you win Friday, you're going to be heavy, heavy underdogs to knock off a 68-win one seed like that. So, yeah, you want to avoid playing them. You want to avoid being out, but you also want to avoid playing them in the 1-8 series.
You have to win tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll avoid the phrase because I don't want to make you angry.
No, you
But I don't want to, because there's multiple ways to sort of like receive that phrase.
Right.
And so I'll use different words. You have to win tonight.
Well, look at the level of urgency that they're showing.
Yes.
They're showing up for a shoot around, which is not totally unheard of, but it's rare. It's not usual.
Yeah.
And they're doing it because they see the urgency in tonight. So yeah, without using phraseology, you could just explain things like, well, Jimmy Butler played 48 minutes on Sunday of 53, and he'll probably play about the same amount tonight.
I hope his leg is up for it. Like, I mean, he was really hurt.
Yeah.
He was really hurt. I was listening to Slater this morning describe Jimmy at his locker after the game, and it was like, dude, he's putting clothes on, going like, ah, ow, ah. Like, I mean, this is not something that I would think 48 hours later is like, okay, it's all good. Like, it probably hurts. And I know, lots of treatment. Pro athlete, $55 million. He's going to work his way through it. I have full confidence. But, like, that's got to work. Like, his leg has got to work.
And the leg doesn't care how much he makes. And this is where, like, his thigh is not thinking, we're making $55 million, so I'm going to feel better.
No, you know what I mean, though. He's going to press through.
No doubt.
He's going to press through.
But when you have a Charlie horse like that, it takes time. I mean, we've all had Charlie horses. It hurts, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ricardo and Benicia. Hey, Ricardo, thanks for waiting. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, sir, how you doing, boys?
Yo.
I know. So obviously, just truer words have never been said. I would much rather play Houston in the first round because you don't really want to play with the potential MVP of the league. But key things about tonight's game, I will say, I would want Jaren Jackson Jr. to get into foul trouble. That's definitely one important key. And also, Desmond Bane is also a vital spot for the Grizzlies. So try and keep him at bay and also try and play the percentage with John Morant. Obviously, he's not really that sharp of a three-point shooter, but just play the percentage. I do want Kuminga to play a couple more minutes as well. And obviously, we don't know how it's going to end up tonight. Obviously, I am a little nervous, just like everybody else. But yeah, it's key. I would much rather play an inexperienced Houston squad in the first round on Sunday than play OKC.
Yeah, Ricardo, thanks. It's a totally good call. I happen to think, though, you're underselling it. I wouldn't use those words. Like, I'd rather play Houston. No, you have to. You have to. This is just not a realistic scenario if they lose tonight. And I hate the word realistic. I can't stand the word realistic.
Well, all you have to do is look at the history of ones versus eights, and it's only happened five times. And that one time that happened with the Warriors involved, and we mentioned it earlier, that was a fraudulent 67-win Dallas Maverick team. Yeah. This OKC 68-win team doesn't feel very fluky.
No, they're not fraudulent at all. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.